got a wonderful guest in the show today that I admire so much, and it's the lovely Geraldine Hills. Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
You are very, very welcome. Now, Geraldine has penned a book, and the title is A Parent's Guide to Disability Discrimination and Their Child's Education. Now, this is part of your, well, it is your company, Inclusive Choice Consultancy. So, Geraldine, tell us how this book came about for you, because it's written from a true experiential time in your life, isn't it, that was a difficult period.
Yeah, so. I'm the parent of a disabled child. I have a son called Sam. He's 10 now. Originally, my son started his educational life in a special school. We didn't take the decision lightly. It was right for Sam. When he got to 5, we decided that would be visually impaired services, speech and language, mobility, and myself, the parent. We all decided that it would be right for Sam to attend mainstream. While he was at special school, he was always told that he was a little boy first and his disability was second. So it was all about Sam and getting him to a really good place. When we got to mainstream, we were only there 12 days. And they said, after we'd bought the uniform and we'd really psyched Sam up and it was all going to be fantastic, after 12 days, they said they didn't want him. When you say you don't want a child with disabilities in your school, the law says you have to come up with reasons why. It's called justification. So their justification was, for instance, Sam is causing queues using the PE equipment and he's spoiling it for other children. Sam needs help carrying his dinner tray and that's also causing queues. And Sam needs things reiterating to him more than once and it's causing a disturbance in the classroom. But he was 5, so I would argue, what 5-year-old, indeed what adult, doesn't benefit from having things reiterated? So I think you can tell from that example they were very negative towards Sam. So unfortunately, I took him out of the school because I had no choice because they just made it unpleasant and I had to take the school to tribunal, which I won.
That was congratulations on, first of all, winning the tribunal, but actually getting to the tribunal and having the courage to go head to head with these people must have been a really courageous and at the same time traumatic time for you.
It was absolutely horrendous. And I think the book that you've mentioned, A Parent's Guide to the Equality Act for Disability Discrimination, is actually free to download from my website, www.inclusivechoice.com. Because going to a tribunal is really academic. So I had to learn the law really quickly, which absolutely pushed me over the edge because I still had to look after Sam, inject him every night, medicate him, see to his needs, clean my home, married life. So, of course, I had a breakdown, which is something I'm not ashamed of. I think the school should be ashamed that I was pushed to that. But nevertheless, I got through it, and that is why I've written about my experience and all the information and all the law that I learned. I've now made available free to parents to download in my book.
Fabulous. We're going to come back after this next track, and it's Venus, Shocking Blue, for you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the journey that you had. We're going to come back to the lovely Geraldine Hills after a little bit of music. You're listening to Wendy Joseph and this is Bolton FM, and Geraldine Hills is in the studio today and we're talking about disability discrimination, which is very, very close to Geraldine's heart because she took on a local education authority and won to get her son the education that he so deserved, that every child in England is legally bound by law to be having. So Geraldine, you were telling us earlier about Sam. Tell us a little bit about your special boy.
Well, Sam, I mentioned earlier that we inject Sam every night. So Sam has a rare condition called septo-optic dysplasia. That sounds a little bit familiar. Katie Price, known as Jordan, her son Harvey, has that condition as well. And he's got some mobility issues and vision. And so we inject Sam every night to keep him healthy because he doesn't produce some hormones he needs. And he has steroids to keep him strong and that kind of thing. So I think, you know, we're used to it now, but it was a real shock to be told that we should just go away and find some school somewhere to take Sam, when actually he's in another mainstream school now and he's doing fantastic.
So for you to kind of, it's almost as though, I know the words weren't directly used, but however somebody puts those words together, it's almost kind of like, it's too expensive for us to have your son in this school and we feel like your son is holding children back. Now, as a parent, that must be absolutely devastating to hear. When really, if you look at society and the way that children behave around other children with disabilities, they gain and their lives benefit so much by the understanding of other people's disabilities and what how different and more difficult at times their lives are to mainstream people who were born without disabilities that can sometimes look at life as in woe is me.
Yeah.
And it takes them away from them feeling sorry for themselves and makes them see life as a true reality of something that they need to grab hold of and move forward with rather than looking at their own.
I think the school missed something there, and I think they robbed the children of the experience of showing compassion and buddying up. So, for instance, when they said that my son was causing queues using the PE equipment, well, here's an idea, get someone to hold his hand. You know, we moan about the youth and we say, oh, you know, the streets are dangerous. Well, we had young people, young five-year-olds, and what that school chose to do was to say to those five-year-olds, that child there is a bit vulnerable and he's causing queues and it's a nuisance. They robbed them of the experience of being good friends and buddies to my son.
But then when we have a buddying system for children that come to this country that don't speak the language, they have a buddying system for children with a different kind of part about their character that holds them back, whether it be the language, the physical disability, a mental disability, that they are taken care of in different ways. And it's all about giving children support, but showing children how to give support. And I don't think a lot of children are shown how to give support.
Yeah, I think this was, if I was the parent of a child going to that school, I would have been cross because exactly, they missed a beautiful opportunity to teach compassion, love, buddy, friendship. But not only that, I think it was very clear that they saw the disability. They never saw my son. They never saw his personality. They didn't talk to me, the parent, because I could have given them some tips. But more importantly, they ignored the Equality Act, which says when a child with disabilities is in your school, you must make reasonable adjustments before you even suggest they can't stay there. What have you done, first of all, to try and help them to fit in? And that's called reasonable adjustments. They went straight to less favourable treatment and just said, we don't want him. So the case started.
So this book, if anybody wants to have an overview of what their rights are with regard to disability in schools and the disability rights and what you can generally across the UK expect, we have to take account that different authorities have different ways of working, but the premise of what your rights are is basically the same, isn't it, across the UK?
Yeah, I think I work very closely with many, many authorities across the UK. The Equality Act doesn't change for each different authority. So every authority, every school, every head, every teacher in that school has to adhere to the Equality Act. So my book basically is written in easy read format because it needs to be like that for myself. Full of case studies, full of stories that explains the law in an accessible way.
Fabulous. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Geraldine's fantastic story, that I'm just the courage that she's managed to gain through this adversity and turn it round on its head and make it into a positive. And Geraldine is helping lots and lots of other parents that have children with disabilities as well in the UK. Going to be telling you more after Ronan Keating. You're listening to Wendy Joseph and this is Bolton FM. Geraldine Hills is in the studio today and she is the author of The Parent's Guide to Disability Discrimination and Their Child's Education. And she has her own company that she actually founded in light of her battle against the authorities to get her son the very valuable education that he so needed and he was so legally entitled to. Geraldine, you do a lot of work in schools now. Tell us what kind of work you do in schools and why a school would want you to go and work with them.
Well, I think, firstly, I set up my company because while I was having a breakdown, I started to think, why did this happen? How could a school do this? What frightened me was, because I had some knowledge and a bit of a background, I was able to put a legal case together. And I was just worried, if English is your second language or you've got learning difficulties, whatever, that might not always be possible. So I set up a training company because I thought, well, you know, rather than vilifying and being bitter, my way to get better from my breakdown was to design training courses and write books for schools to try and explain to them why what happened to my son was not only illegal, but it was wrong and easily avoided. We don't want to go to tribunal. 10 schools a week go to tribunal in Britain right now, and 65% find in favour of parents. £10,000 the average tribunal will cost the taxpayer. So I set up my company as I was getting better in my bedroom, and I started to write these books. I discovered when I get angry, I like to write. So my books are now published on Amazon, so I'm really delighted with that. And they're called The Equality Act for Education Providers, Schools, Nurseries. So that's available on Amazon. I now go around all schools and train, because the government keep banging out this legislation, and it is vitally important, but it's very academic, and we're not training our schools. So give our schools a chance, because I wasn't aware of the Equality Act, even though I had a child with disabilities. I had to go and learn it. And if you think of all the things that teachers have to do, let's not vilify schools and vilify LEAs, because that just breeds hostility. So I design training courses. And so, for instance, I have a massive contract in Manchester. Manchester LEA allow me to train all high schools, nursery schools, primary schools, and they receive my book and training. I really want to come to Bolton LEA and discuss with them how I can make things so much better and empower their teachers in schools to make the right decisions, and most of all to work in partnership with parents and avoid all the trauma I went through and tribunal cases.
Because isn't it what I find really interesting there is that when you have children which quite rightly deserve help, all children with disabilities deserve help, that have a hearing disability, that are a sight disability, yeah, you get your braille, you get your hearing aid, you're told exactly what kind of hearing aid you can have, up to what kind of cost you're allowed, that the authority will pay, but get your child to have a different kind of disability that isn't listed within the you get this, you're guaranteed so many books, or if you're at university, you've got, if you're in a wheelchair, you get somebody to help you in the classes, you get help at the side of you in the class, at college you get that. But then at primary schools, it's absolutely shocking that that was, they were so, children were so let down in that area.
I think, Wendy, that is such a good point, because my son does have a disability which they can't pitch and hold. He's got severe Tourette syndrome also. And for that reason, I think that the school just thought, right, we've seen maybe one negative image of Tourette's, whether that be a BBC or whatever documentary, Channel 4, one negative image. So we're going to believe everybody is like that with Tourette's. They only behave one way. And we're also going to predict and guess what this child might need, might be like, how much that might cost. They don't know, because you can't, not everything is neatly enveloped and posted away, and they're, oh look, there's a wheelchair, or because different wheelchair users will have different needs, you must move away from that.
Exactly. But then we spend, which I agree as well, so much time saying see the person, not the colour of skin, see the person. We're all human beings. I agree that we're all ultimately equal. Some people, because of the disabilities, need help to be able to function, and they deserve that right to have that help. But isn't it interesting how there was an unfortunate negative juncture there?
That
you kind of fell in a vat, as be it, that you had to crawl out of.
It was terrible, because you know the sad thing was, Manchester LEA had given us a fantastic statement for Sam. So on paper, we could have all his needs. They said when Sam goes to a particular school, he needs visually impaired. We got it. Mobility services, special shoes. We got all that. But it was the attitude of the headmaster and the attitude of the governors. Now, I have another contract where I train all governors, and I've written a book for them as well. Those governors really didn't have a clue about the Equality Act in the school in question. And so it caused chaos for everybody, lack of knowledge. So that really needs to be addressed. And I'd like to do work in Bolton around that.
Fabulous. We'll see what we can do to try and get you doing some work at our schools in Bolton, because we are a great town here for people doing voluntary work and organisations and care in the community. So
is it
you'll
true
be very
I hear
welcome.
That in Bolton is one of the biggest places for people donating their time for free and voluntary work? You must be really proud.
Yeah, I am. And I've been doing voluntary work in Bolton for 3.5 years now. I've got 2 voluntary jobs, and
fantastic.
I'm proud to give something back to my
work
community.
In schools, please.
Yeah, definitely. Of course I will. I'm not having any more children, so I'll definitely work in schools. Back to the music. And we're going to be talking about the fantastic positive side to Geraldine's business after this next track. And it's Promise This by Cheryl Cole. That was Yellow by Cock and Bull Kid. That is a good job. I said that right, wasn't it? You're listening to Wendy Joseph, and this is Bolton FM. Before that, we had the absolutely gorgeous Cheryl Cole, and promise this. Geraldine Hills is still in the studio. I'm really curious, Geraldine. We're talking about disability discrimination. If you haven't been listening earlier, she's wrote A Parent's Guide to Disability Discrimination, and she formed a company on the back of that called Inclusive Choice Consultancy. Now, Geraldine, you went through a really traumatic time when you had to go against the authorities to get your son the education and the care that he needed. There's something in us, and I am proud to be able to say myself that I managed to pick myself up from a horrendous time when I was in my earlier life, when I was married, and the courage that I had then to pick myself up. There's something in us that is inherently there when we can only reach down deep enough to see it. What was yours, Geraldine?
I think, you know, what really frightened me was thinking up, why should I get out of bed? Why should I take another breath? I couldn't believe that I'd got that low. And then I just thought, it's eating me away. It's killing me slowly. And I thought, what can I do with this anger? How can I turn this anger into energy? And that's when I started to write. And I've never really looked back, because, you know, the old saying, silver lining cloud and that kind of thing. Even out of this terrible, if you like, tragedy of having to take a school to tribunal and winning, my company evolved, because I knew that I had to look at the bigger picture and forgive and realize that maybe I could help with this problem and provide excellent training that comes from my heart, because I want schools to do well. And I know it's just a mistake, most discrimination. In my case, it was deliberate, but mostly it isn't. It's a mistake. So I think inclusive choice has really been thought up, just an idea, from a place where I just couldn't cope anymore. And then I thought, I don't like where I am, it's dark, and I was frightening myself because I was just so sad. So inclusive choice gave me something to live for.
So really what we're talking about there, and I get what you're saying that way, because it's finding a way of turning adversity on its head and using it to run with and give you confidence and give you substance, so that experience, instead of pulling you down, gives you the substance for who you are today. And then in that way we almost feel a little bit grateful for the experience, not at the time, because at the time it's so horrendously painful, but now it's actually turned you into the person that you are, and it gave you the ability to see how much courage as a human being that you have.
You know, and I think what's really important, you know, what I'd like to say to parents of children with disabilities, because I also provide training for parents, and I'm hoping that Bolton Parent Forum will allow me to train their parents. But one thing I will say is, you think you know yourself. I did not know that I was capable of writing these books. I promise you, I left school, I couldn't even make an A-line skirt, which is what you had to do when I went to school. I had no qualifications. I didn't even have a drama qualification. So I'm not some kind of fabulous academic with loads of A levels. I've got terrible dyslexia. I find everything so hard, and yet I managed to do it. That was always in me. It's just, it came out because I got a bit cross and I thought, right, okay, I'm going to trust myself. I can do this. So what can you do? So there's a challenge. What can you do? Feel the fear and do it anyway.
There's a book. If you didn't know, there's a book out called that. And I've got it at home, actually. I haven't read it for a few years, but I'm thinking of doing a parachute jump, so I should read it.
Yay!
Back to the music. We've got Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Sunshine Time. Beach Boys, sunshine all over the weekend here in Bolton as well. You're listening to Wendy Joseph, and this is Bolton FM. Geraldine Hills has been in the studio for an hour today, so thank you so, so much if you've been listening. Fabulous interview with the Disability Discrimination and her company, Inclusive Choice Consultancy. So tell me what the world holds for you, Geraldine. After all your big journey and your positive forthrightness out in the world.
I think I'm never going to doubt myself again. I'm never going to think I can't do anything, because if I can write a book, I promise you anybody can. I just think it's amazing what's inside us that sometimes we don't realize is there. So I think for my company, it's to expand, take on more staff. I've got a few new ideas for different sorts of books. I do a lot of keynote speeches and talking around different venues and things like that. And I guess really my ultimate aim is to become a government advisor. So I am looking for any local MPs, maybe in Bolton, that want to hook up with me and really get behind me with the work I'm doing in schools, because I fully intend to become a government advisor. So look out for me. I will be there.
We've got a few really, really good MPs in Bolton. A couple that I've wrote to in my time.
In Bolton?
Yeah, and the thing is that people that are from outside Bolton don't even see or realise that. And sometimes they don't give us Boltonians the chance that we deserve for us to show our courage and our compassion.
Sure.
Once you're in Bolton, you need help, you need support, you need the right information. Once you're told the right places to go, you've got that support there. And a lot of the time, you don't have to pay a penny for that support either.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that I was really impressed when I got in touch with Bolton FM and it was like, yes, please come on. And I didn't even have to try, you know, I was just invited on the show. So thank you for that. So I just think overall is to keep going. I'm never going to doubt myself again. And I'm just going to say and set everyone a challenge. Think about it tonight. What's hidden inside of you that you can do that's creative, entrepreneurial, start up your own company, write your book, whatever it is, doesn't, you know, parachute jump in. That's what you said, Wendy.
I'm scared of doing a parachute jump, but I need to do something.
I'll be waving from the ground.
I need to do something that scares me.
There you go. And it is scary setting up your own company, but I'm just so glad I did it. So yeah, I think just keep going from strength to strength, hopefully.
So on the last word, tell us how your gorgeous son Sam is doing.
Oh my Lord, he's doing fabulous. The teacher said to me the other day, he's got a reading age of an 11-year-old and he's 10. He won Citizen of the Week twice. And he's just an all-round nice kid. And all I've ever wanted for him is to be happy, and that's what I've got. He's in a different school. I'm immensely proud of St Cuthbert's in Manchester. And we're now looking forward and gearing up to high school next year. So, yeah, he's doing fine. Thank you for asking.
St Cuthbert's in Manchester.
Yeah.
Congratulations for them to show the courage and the compassion and to realise how much we can learn from people in all walks of life with all forms of disabilities.
Here, here.
It's absolutely amazing. And your courage has been astounding. Now, you are lecturing at Manchester Met Uni as well at the moment, aren't you?
I did a degree in learning disability studies 3 years ago and I got help because of my severe dyslexia. I got help, so people helped me write my assignments, all those kind of things. I couldn't have done it without help and admitting my disability as well. And then I got invited back to be a lecturer because I can only tell it as it is. I can't give you big highfalutin words and package information in some kind of way that's really difficult because of my dyslexia. So yeah, I lecture now at Manchester Uni at the Learning Disability Studies course. So.